Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. That's right. I am joined tonight, as always, by my love, my partner, my best friend, my wife, Robin. How you doing tonight, darling?
I'm doing really good.
Cool. Yeah, and speaking of cool, it has been weird and wonderful with the weather. You know, this weekend, and then today, and good grief.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say, did you say wonderful?
I said weird and wonderful, yeah.
Oh, well,
I mean,
weird
I think the
wonderful.
Kids thought the, yeah, I think
yeah,
the
well,
kids thought the snow on Saturday was probably wonderful.
Well, yeah, I suppose, but they don't have to drive in it. Although we didn't have a lot. We only had, you know, like an inch, but it was enough for them to jump up and down on the grass with their sleds and do a little sleigh riding.
Yeah. So. I'm just ready to. I'm already ready for spring, and we still got 2 months of this left. So.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Yep. Well, we had a little excitement this evening.
Oh, how was that?
Well, one of the cats left a present for Persephone in her room. Little gray mouse.
Oh,
they finally caught the mouse from under the dishwasher.
All right. And then left it on
her
bed or what?
No, right in her doorway.
Okay, but they were presenting it to her. That would be.
Yes.
They were showing off.
Yes.
You know, see what I did? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Look, Mom. No hands. Look what we did.
Outstanding. Well, it's great. I'm glad they finally caught that thing. Or like you said, earning the keep.
Uh-huh.
We've been buying food and paying for vet visits. It's about time they did something.
Exactly.
You know. So, that's right. The vet bills are even worse. So, it's about time they, give us a little payback. That's excellent.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I do want to let all of our listeners know that there are apparently some issues with the chat room tonight. And it is being very weird. It keeps dropping out. I like to never got the chat room launched. So any of our listeners that were planning on being in the chat room, if you're listening live, and you wanted to participate in the conversation, and several of you do, text your comments in the chat room, Tonight, we are giving you an additional personal invite to call in at 646-564-9714 and join the conversation. Ask us any questions that you have. Tonight, we are going to be wrapping up what has been several months of individual shows looking at the separate, distinct components of ritual, starting with, I think we started with why, just the why of it. Then we talked about sacred space, we talked about casting the circle, we talked about the quarters and the elemental energy separate and distinct from anything else than the calling of deity, the actual working. We had a separate show on ritual working. So we've really broken this down week after week for some months. And tonight, a couple of weeks ago, we had the ritual closing and how to undo everything we had done and you know, take down the circle or whatever it is that you do in your particular faith, an expression of faith and how you do your rituals. And tonight we're just kind of recapping, wrapping up, talking about it all. And again, you're invited, whether you're trying to get into the chat room or if you just want to call in, we are inviting you to call us at 646-564-9714. Call in when the little British-sounding lady finishes talking, hit the one button. That'll throw up a flag in the switchboard and let us know that you want to talk. And, you know, otherwise you can just sit there and listen. That's a good way to listen to the show. So, Robin, what thoughts did you have as we conclude this series?
Let's see. Well, you know, by now, hopefully everybody out there has performed at least one, you know, full moon ritual or one ritual for themselves and has at least gotten a handle on it. For anybody who might be willing to call in, I'd be curious to hear your experiences or send us an email with your experiences to that littlestonebridge.com. Because, you know, really that's why we...
That's littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Yeah, I think that's what I said, wasn't it?
That's okay. Keep going.
Okay. So, anyway, so, you know, if you can write to us or call in and let us know your experiences, that's always great for us to hear feedback. That's really why we do this, is to get feedback and know that we're reaching people, or if people have questions that they'd like to ask about anything that they heard in this series, feel free to call in this evening and ask. This is your opportunity. In the meantime, I will say that whenever we do ritual, the one thing that I find to be the most helpful is once you've experimented and found what you like, what works for you, is to stay in that ritual groove at least for a while. Keep things as much the same as possible, because after all, that is the definition of the word ritual, doing something, you know, in the same way over and over again, because it gathers energy and it creates an effect. It is cumulative. So the more you do things in a certain way, the more your consciousness shift will happen earlier, because you will recognize, oh, this is what I'm going to do. Your forebrain will recognize, this is what I'm about to do, and it will relinquish control to the back brain and the more primitive, and you'll slip into that mindset that you need in order to connect with elementals and deity and be open more quickly. And that's why we do ritual. And anything that you do to prepare yourself for something is a ritual. You know, you'll often see, you know, Olympic swimmers will have something they do every time before they go in the pool. You know, they have to have a towel that they, you know, dry themselves off with, or they, you know, have their goggles on their head a certain way. Everybody has rituals no matter what they do. Some people, before they leave for work in the morning, have little rituals. They have to have a specific cup for their coffee. They have to have, you know, a certain type of honey bun or cookie before they leave the house, or they, whatever it is, you know, everybody has their own little rituals. My, you know, we have things that are rituals all day long. You know, I hang my keys on a certain hook when I come in the house at night, so I know they'll be there in the morning when I'm looking for them, when I'm trying to get out the door. That is a ritual in and of itself. It's a habit. It's something that we do, but it's these are the little rituals that get us through every day. So rituals
are
really very simple.
Yeah, but those are also the little rituals that make ritual ritual. The
mm-hmm.
way that we do the same thing, everything the same way, and how we, you know, what accoutrements we use.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like robes and throwing on a robe, or doing some form of oblations and ritual cleansing helps to put them in the mindset for the
mm-hmm.
actions of ritual. Lighting
right.
candles, all of those things are keys that help us, as Robin was saying, to shift consciousness and get that deeper connection, because when we shift, we really can connect and experience the divine.
Yep.
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 So it's been an interesting series. I mean, I have had a lot of fun with this. And it's interesting when you do ritual for 20-odd years to pause and step and look at the individual components. Why do we do the things we do the way we do them? And the beauty of it is that we each do that differently and for a different reason. The reason that I do things and the reason that Robin does things are different. The things we do in our private rituals are different. The things we do together in joint ritual for the family, the things that we do in larger group ritual, it's all different because it's all predicated on a different set of goals and a different group that you're working with. Taking a look at each of those components has really been interesting and has deepened and reinforced some of my ideas about what I do and helped me to understand better how other people do things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've enjoyed this.
Well, rituals make up so many little aspects of our lives, and they each have their own energies and carry their own energies on, you know, on a daily basis. And not everybody does ritual the same, just like not everybody has the same ritual for getting up in the morning and, you know, getting ready for work, for example. Some people get up and immediately get in the shower. Other people get up and want to have their coffee and their breakfast first, and then they're going to get in the shower. Maybe they read the paper for a little while, then they get in the shower. Everybody's different. And it's funny how we take for granted when you're going to cohabitate with somebody for the first time. Well, they'll just do things the way I do it. Well, it's very much like that with ritual. We just assume that other people will do it the way we do it, but that's not always the case. One isn't better than the other, because ultimately it really doesn't matter when you take a shower in the morning before you go to work, but it probably matters that you do take a shower in the morning before you go to work. Not only because it wakes you up and you get clean, but it's just a great way to start your day. But everybody might do it at a different point. So if you go to somebody's ritual etiquette is very important. And maybe one of the next series that we decide to do is what about, you know, going to somebody else's ritual and how to behave. But in general, don't look down your nose at what anybody else does, because believe me, what they do is no better or worse than what you do. It's just different. I really get annoyed with people who feel like, well, you're not a ceremonial, or you're not a druid, or you're not a Wiccan, and, you know, my path is better than yours, or my rituals are better than yours. Well, you know what? You can't live in that person's experience, and you don't live their spiritual path. Don't judge them. Isn't that why we became pagan? Because we didn't want to have to follow somebody else's idea of how to relate to deity, and somebody else's idea of ritual, and somebody else's idea of what should be general, and what should be quote-unquote normal. And we became pagan because it didn't appeal to us. So if you go to somebody else's ritual and you don't like what they're doing, or you think your ritual is better, and you have this whole thing while you're there, oh, this is just not as good as what I could do or what my group does, you're not going to have any experience at all, because you're so busy blocking the whole experience. Better to just open yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to make the best of this experience. I'm going to be open to it. I'm going to enjoy it and see what happens. Now, with that said, there are times when you will come across things that are highly unusual and things that don't make you comfortable, or things that are so far outside what you would consider normal that perhaps you shouldn't participate, or perhaps you should take action to say, hey, you know, would you be open to a little input from somebody? Obviously not during the ritual, but maybe, you know, after, a couple of days later. Because I noticed this thing, and I was wondering how come you do it that way, because, you know, can you explain to me? And try to educate, try to share information with people, because sometimes, you know, you might learn something from them, and they might learn something from you, and that ultimately is a much more productive experience around any ritual that you would go to than standing around acting like, you know, you know better. Because as I said, you're not going to get much out of anything if you behave that way.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, if you go in on the attack, then people are going to instantly get defensive, and there you go. Nothing gets accomplished. In fact, next week, we are going to be talking about the language of interfaith dialogue. Well, it also applies to intrafaith. You know, we all operate under this pagan umbrella. That even within the pagan community, there are a variety of expressions of faith. And next week, we're going to be having a conversation about how to discuss stuff with other people in a meaningful way. Maybe looking at the similarities, maybe expressing and celebrating the diversity. And so, you know, when you're approaching someone that does something different that you don't understand, try to keep in mind that they might have a reason for what they do. You may not even have to agree with it once they explain it. But it's not your experience. It's not your path. And they may not agree with everything you do. Big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, we do have a very experiential faith. Now, I say this all the time, we're an experiential path, not a revealed path. We don't have a Bible. We don't have a Torah. We don't have a Quran. We have our personal individual experiences, and that is what our faith is built on, each of us individually connecting to the divine. That means that there's going to be subtle differences. Even when Robin and I do ritual together, there's subtle differences because we're different people with different connections to the divine. Now, over time, will that probably meld even more? Very likely, because that's what happens with families and couples and units and covens. That doesn't mean that our individual connection to the divine is going to be in lockstep at any point. And it should not be. So we need to remember that we're celebrating diversity in everything we do, not just ours, but others. So when you are asking about differences, try to be respectful and understand that they may feel like you're different too. And find that understanding. You don't have to agree. Robin?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay.
Well, yeah, not much more to add to that. I totally agree.
And kind of looking forward to next week's show as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so you were saying?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about the idea that when you have completed your ritual and you are, wrapping it up, one of the things I don't know if we talked about, and I'll touch on here, is cakes and ale.
I was just thinking about that. How weird is that? You're doing it again. You're in my mind. Get out of my mind.
Some traditions, at the end of ritual, pass around food and drink, cakes and ale. It doesn't necessarily have to be cake and ale. It can be grape juice and cookies. It can be whatever. Its purpose is really to help you sort of ground and sort of reaffirm that everybody is part of a physical community. One of the more common things you'll see in rituals is, one person will hold the tray of cookies or cake, if you will, and, feed the person next to them in circle and say, may you never hunger, and then give them the drink and say, may you never thirst. And then that person in turn does the same thing for the person next to them. And it's sort of a blessing of abundance and prosperity and friendship and community. Sometimes people wait until after a circle is open and they just have, cookies and refreshments on a table somewhere. And there is no expression of may you never hunger, may you never thirst.
Like doing that in circle. I like that. In Barbados, with my group down there, we used to have. Every group's going to be different, and some people are going to be out there laughing. But we had yellowtail merlot, and they call them crackers down there, but they're cookies, and they call them digestives, and it's kind of a richer graham cracker.
Uh-huh.
And our favorite was the caramel digestives with a chocolate. They were chocolate dipped.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of our sacramental wine and cookie was, and it was what we did every ritual.
Yeah,
it can be different every ritual. I know that a lot of places have different cookies for different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have seasons in Barbados, so it was,
Yeah. Well, I think actually the cookie as being called the digestive like that is actually from the UK. It's from a British thing.
Well, it is. It's a British. Everything Barbadian is or Bajan is British somehow. So, yeah, a lot of expressions down there are, the British. And you're absolutely right. What we call chips, they call crisps. What we call cookies, sometimes our cookies are crackers. And a lot of that food stuff gets all intermingled, and it's a little tough. But they have the digestive crackers, which is a graham cracker could be called a cookie here if you wanted to. But the point is, everyone has their kind of go-to, go-to cakes and ales. The idea of sharing food in ritual is not uniquely pagan. Almost every faith on this planet has some form of sharing food while communing with the gods or God or whatever they're doing. And let's face it, so many rituals are based on the sharing of food. I mean, dating. You know, generally when you're asking someone out for a date, you're talking about, let's go to dinner. You share food to build relationships. So how is that, you know, how is that fundamentally different than we're building a relationship amongst our group of people that are there together celebrating the gods? And we are building community by sharing food.
Well, food is the ultimate common experience. Everybody can taste it and feel it and smell it and see it, and it is a bonding component to just about any function.
Any function, any culture. My travels around the world, I have built so many friendships across a dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Absolutely.
People will bring you into their homes, they want to share their food. Had some students in a class when I was in Dubai. They were from Iraq. They took me to an Iraqi restaurant and shared genuine Iraqi food. And that was their way of sharing themselves with me.
Mm-hmm.
And my way of accepting that was to go and have this meal and to bond and build, you know, build friendships.
Mm-hmm.
All cultures across the globe build community by sharing food, whether there's a circle around it or a restaurant. We share food and build relationships. So I see how cakes and ale is a very important part and a gross oversight that we did not have a whole show on covering that.
Yeah. One other thing that I think we touched on in the very beginning, but we didn't talk about very, very much, was there are some people who really feel the need prior to any kind of ritual to ritually cleanse their body. They're going to take a bath, or they're going to take a shower, or whatever they're going to do, scrape themselves with a stick and, you know, some water. Whatever they feel qualifies. And there's a lot of tradition, you know, steeped in that of taking a ritual bath prior to being part of a ritual. But then, you know, people Then there are people who say, I can't do ritual unless I have taken my shower or my bath or my ritual cleansing. Don't be so rigid when it comes to ritual. You can do ritual anywhere from when you're driving in your car to, you know, a high ritual where you've completely taken a bath and oiled yourself and donned ritual clothing and you've got candles and, you know, incense and, you know, everything you could possibly want galore on your altar. And but it doesn't always have to be that way. So, you know, just because you didn't take your shower doesn't mean you can't do ritual. The gods understand.
I agree completely. I do know a lot of people, and even when we do an anointing and a saging, we are doing some version of ritual cleansing before we come into circle. And, you know, you and I do this. We like the saging of a person and the anointing, which is preparing the body physically before entering circle. It's no different than any other form of oblation.
Don't have time to do that, or it's not available,
or
you go to somebody else's ritual and they don't do that. It's not like, oh, God, the ritual's ruined. I'm sorry, say that again?
I said you still do ritual.
Right, exactly.
Well, this is a pause in the conversation and perhaps the perfect place to go ahead and take our break. We're 29 minutes after the hour. And I have a song by Wendy Rule queued up called Guided by Venus. I don't know why, I just felt like that was a song to play tonight. No particularly good reason, but I do love Wendy Rule's voice. So Guided by Venus by Wendy Rule. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Follow. International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to the Power Hours with Terry and Robin. How are you doing over there, Robin?
I'm doing fine.
All right, cool. I am glad you're back. I mean, it was, I was pushing buttons and lagging and nothing was happening. It was a little weird. But anyway, BTR is being BTR tonight. So anyway, before the break, we were just talking about ritual, the components that we've been talking about. We had a little conversation about our oversight in not mentioning cakes and ale. So what are some of the other things you want to bring to people's attention in the next 10, 15 minutes as we wrap up the show tonight and wrap up the series?
Well, I think that defining who you are and what things appeal to you is important as far as, you know, ritual goes. And that takes some practice. And don't be afraid to try lots of different things. You don't have to stick to one pantheon. You don't have to stick to one tradition. You don't have to stick to anything that anybody else has ever said. Follow your heart, do what feels right for you, and do a lot of research. Read lots of books, go to lots of other people's rituals, go to live events, you know, these weekend camping events or you know, one-day events. Gather as much information as you can. These are the things that are going to help you decide what path you like, and you know, it can never hurt you to know something, even if it's something that doesn't appeal to you. Students always used to say to me, oh, you know, why do you have us read Aleister Crowley? Well, so that you know he's an important historical figure inside the craft, but also so you know, maybe what give you a better handle on what you like, what you don't like. Read Gerald Gardner, read, you know, the Alexander, read the Satanic Verses or the Satanic Bible. Read stuff that you may not necessarily want to pursue. But if you only ever lived in a room with the lights on, you never experienced darkness, you would know what it was when you came across it. So it's good to know where your line in the sand is.
Yeah, absolutely, and it also helps give perspective, some historical perspective, because a lot of the things that we do in, you know, for lack of a better term, that, you know, group, you know, large group, generic, Wicca-like pagan ritual that's kind of, and you know what I'm talking about, that where we do you're doing a group ritual with a lot of people, so there's kind of that common generic, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but there's that kind of common Wicca kind of ritual that becomes, that you see in a lot of, open rituals, because everyone can kind of find a place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that stuff comes from Gardner and Crowley, and some of the thinking
mm-hmm.
comes from those places. So I've been to some amazing rituals that had a little bit of Druid stuff and a little bit of ceremonial stuff and a little bit of British traditionalist Wicca, and it was put together in this seamless way. I could see where it all came from, but the elegance with which it was put together demonstrated how each component meant something to the person conducting the ritual.
Yeah.
And that was really the coolest part, was I love attending rituals when the person that's doing the ritual has a reason for every bit of it. It's not just
mm-hmm.
what everybody does, but this is
right.
what I'm putting in here because this means this to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it. You can feel the difference. So when you are putting your rituals together out there, our listeners, find the components and the elements that mean something to you. Like Robin said, it may not be all one pantheon you're working with. It may not be really all Wicca or all Druid or all ceremonial. It may be some elements of each of those that
mm-hmm.
you pull together to be meaningful to you. And if you feel it and it's meaningful, then other people will experience that also.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what ritual is about, having that experience. So don't hesitate to experiment. Find what works for you, but find a reason for it, not just because, I read it in a book somewhere. Thanks for playing.
Right.
Why did you use it? What does it mean to you? And when you find those pieces and you put it together and you sew this quilt, it's going to be beautiful because it means something. Every square on that quilt has a purpose and a meaning. And that's an amazing ritual to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should all be striving for in our personal work.
Absolutely, very true.
So, I'm glad you brought up reading people that we don't necessarily agree with, because, there's a lot of it that's kind of the basis of what we do. But also,
mm-hmm.
I found some amazing stuff in places that I didn't think I would.
Yeah, very true. You never know when you're going to find something that resonates.
Right, and that little kernel, that kernel of knowledge, or that gem of wisdom, that
mm-hmm.
that turn of a phrase that just tugs at you. Now, don't be afraid to use it. My background, my early background comes from I don't even know how to describe Al Manning, or G. Al Manning, the helping yourself with white witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of ceremonial-ish, but it's got some very interesting hedge witch kind of components.
Right.
So it was an interesting little blend, and that was where I started doing energy work all of those years ago. And that kind of eclectic work that he put together really kind of led me toward eclecticism and my total willingness to take what works if it's meaningful. And I keep coming back to that. It's got to mean something to you, not just because you read it in a book and it sounded good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's got to actually have, you've got to have a connection to it. And then feel free to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for bringing up other authors that aren't necessarily our, quote, path.
Right.
We usually do so much better at handing back and forth, and tonight we're...
Well, I will admit to being very tired.
I think tonight we're agreeing too much.
Well,
you know, a lot of shows we disagree and we banter and we discuss differences mm-hmm. and opinion, but we haven't expressed a difference in opinion tonight. We're both mm-hmm. kind of, you know, playing with what the other one says. But when it comes down to it, you know, ritual, as Robin said at the very beginning, ritual is about the experience and finding your way. And when that happens, it's going to be magical.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is the first show you've listened to, go back and find the other ones. Go back into the archives and listen to the series. Everyone listening to our voices tonight should be out doing their own ritual. Even if it's a simple full moon where you sit and cast circle and call the quarters, call the divine, and just sit there by yourself in circle and listen. And say thank you. And then undo everything you've done and go on about your evening.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as that is how we connect. How we develop that relationship when we sit and listen to the divine. And when we start to have that interaction, then we can ask questions, then we can ask for guidance, and once we've learned to listen, the messages are there all the time. The ancestors whisper in our ears, the gods are always talking. We just have to be listening.
Mm-hmm.
Ritual helps us, particularly individual ritual, helps us to clear our minds, still our minds, and sit down, shut up, and listen. Robin, what do you have to add to that?
No, that's pretty much it. Sometimes you just have to sit down and be quiet and listen and open your heart and your mind to hear and accept what they're telling you.
So true. Well, we are about 10 minutes away from the top of the hour, so... why don't we talk about how to get in touch with us?
Sure. Well, for any of you who listen to the show frequently, you know the best way to reach Terry or myself is to reach out to our email address at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. We both read that, and when you do send us an email, please put something unique in the subject so that we can discern it from all the thousands of junk mail we get in that mailbox every day. The other way to get in touch with us is Little Stone Bridge Pathworking's Facebook page, or you can also reach Terry and I individually. My Facebook page is Robin A. McKean, and for getting in touch with Terry, you can find him at his REV, Terry Power HP Facebook page as well. And just a quick note, my middle initial is the letter A, not the E-H, as in, you know, want a beer, eh? If you're Canadian.
A?
So, yeah, eh? Somebody asked me that recently. So I thought, all right. Yeah. Robin A. McKean.
A?
Not A as in want a beer, A. So.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. You mentioned the Little Stone Bridge Fast Workings Facebook page. Also, Robin mentioned my public figure page.
Okay.
You can also find my friends page. That is Terry Power. It shows me in Muncie, Pennsylvania, and it says something about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And that's how you separate mine from all of the other guys out there named Terry Power. There's about five of us. So find the one that says Little Spiritual Unity Radio Network. In mentioning Spiritual Unity Radio Network, you can also look for the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. So thank you, Robin, for telling people how to get in touch with us. And now let's talk a little bit about the schedule. We had a great time on Sunday night premiering An Emerging Forest with Alan Ritter and Christy Shepherd. And he's got a unique approach to life, kind of influenced by some Sufi mystics, but has really, really taken it in his own direction. And it's a great deal of fun to listen. And he's on Sunday nights now, starting off the week. Of course, on Mondays, we still have Voice of Olympus with Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory. Of course, Tuesday nights is the Powers Hour. Wednesday is Dax Axelrod with Economics and the Spiritual Path. And then Thursday, Robin and I are back to end the week with Under a Shady Tree, where we interview authors, artists, people in the community, and then about once a month we take an open topic and you don't know what you're going to get. So it's kind of a wild card topic that night. So it's always interesting. Let's see. This coming Thursday night, we're going to be talking with some authors, a couple of members of the Oldenwild Coven, or Coven Oldenwild. They have a new spell book out, and she's Lady Passion, and I cannot even pronounce his name. I'm not going to try and embarrass myself. We will be meeting them on Thursday night and talking about their new edition of their spell book that has come out. And a week from tonight, we're going to be, as I have already mentioned, discussing the language of interfaith dialogue, and we will also include intrafaith in there. And then on the 26th, on Thursday night, our good friend Celia Farron has a new CD out, and she's going to be on talking probably with Robin that night, because I think I'm going to be on airplanes. But she's going to be on talking about her new CD and just stuff she's got going on. And then on the 31st, 2 weeks from tonight, is our in-bulk ritual. Live on the air, we'll be communing with the god and the goddess and celebrating the new light. Really, the days are getting noticeably longer, and it's time to celebrate Candlemas. And so you'll want to be with us a couple of weeks from tonight so that you can join us for that celebration of Imbolc. And I think that pretty well covers it. No, it's not it. Because it is now time to start announcing that on the weekend of June, the 9th, 10th, and 11th of June, we are going to be at the event I think is being called Sumer Fest or Ishtar
Fest,
Return to the Golden. Say again?
Sumer Fest. Mm-hmm, as in Sumerian.
as in Sumerian, as in Renfest or Renfair. We're going to have a Sumerian-based Renfair, basically, Sumerfair, Sumerfest. We're going to get together and celebrate the full moon and the Sumerian pantheon with a kind of a Renfair. There will be gods and goddesses in appropriate garb. There will be workshops. There will be rituals. There will be games and fun for the children. It's going to be a hoot. We're on the committee. We're helping put this together as well, and we're going to be attending Sumerfest. I'll get the wording for the pronunciation at some point. But that is the 9th, 10th, and 11th of June. So if you want to see Robin and I out and about somewhere, that's going to be a good way to come see us. And listen for more details, and we'll be playing a couple of ads for the festival as we get a little bit further into the year. Let's see. I think that's about it. Robin, did you have any final thoughts, anything you wanted to say as we wrap up?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
Okay. I want to recommend and encourage all of our listeners to do ritual. This is the best way to commune, to connect with the gods, with God, with goddess, with the elementals, with the ancestors. The best way to do that is with ritual and shifting consciousness. That's the experience that we're looking for. That's the experience that our faith is based on. So I want to encourage people to get started. Just do ritual. You'll find things that you don't like. You'll find things that you do like. But it all comes with doing.
True.
Just do it. So with that, I guess it's simply time to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.